Hi, everybody. Welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer, and joining me today is Steve-O. Steve-O, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, John. Great to speak to you again.
Yeah, the same. Okay, Steve-O, this is going to be a new exciting podcast and series that we're working on, and we're time boxing us into 15 minutes. I got a clock on the screen. Maybe I'll put one on the screen for you, but I got one over here. We're talking about one topic in specific today, and this topic, now it happens to be one of the top, actually two of the top main things that are actually searched today is FinOps and GenAI. Steve, let's talk about GenAI. What is it? How's it going to help FinOps?
Well, so I'm looking at it from the other side of it, right? So everyone's kind of going, oh, Gen AI is going to do all these great things for FinOps. And in some places it will, right? So there's been all this challenge around how do you use FinOps automation and still not create this concept of drift where you're breaking your infrastructure as code. And Gen AI can fit into that where you're going to be creating really useful templates and changes to code for people. But the big problem I have, or the big concern I have, is that people are just saying, we need to use Gen AI, we need to use Gen AI, and aren't thinking about the costs. So I've been doing a load of work on FinOps for Gen AI and the kind of things that people need to be thinking about so they don't just waste loads of money with no actual benefit to them or their organizations because they've just been told to go and use Gen AI.
So you're telling me that because other companies are saying, go use Gen AI, they're jumping into Gen AI themselves, right? And what they're really trying to do is like, I need to use this, but they don't understand it, don't understand the cost implications of implementing AI and the use case for it, right? How it's going to value the company and FinOps in general.
Exactly. I think, I gave a talk at a meetup recently about this. And so the bullet points I had was that generally the issues that people have is that they lack definition of the business value of the use case. They don't consider scheduling, which I'll explain in a bit why that's useful. Lack of architectural guidance or benchmarking to support the efficiency because it's so new. Lack of forecasting or budgeting per use case because it's so new and people just being told to go and use it and not really thinking about the ROI or anything being demonstrated. A lack of a model review for the expertise again. So I'll go through how GenAI gets charged for in a minute, which will make all this make sense. A lack of understanding at the engineering level of the impact of a cost model, that's a real challenge. So you could be a fantastic data engineer, but that doesn't mean you really understand the costs deeply because you're generally at the, you know, really at the face of it trying to create these models. And then there's just a lack of regular review. So I built a model to kind of answer this. But to make it make a bit more sense, let's look at how GenAI is charged for. So there are two parts mainly. One is the building of the models, the creation of the model. So you run a model across a load of data in the same way that we've always done in ML and AI. So that piece is quite usual. But within that, you're basically using really heavy compute services, GPUs, to create this model to basically teach the piece of software that's really running Gen AI the data that's underneath it. What people get wrong in that is they don't schedule it. They don't, like in a supercomputer, you used to organize things. So you run things in series, not in parallel, because you only had a limited amount of compute. So people are just massively building out huge things for short amount of time, which means you can't use RIs, you can't use savings plans. So actually thinking about things, planning them out, not just lobbing all of your data into one model, but planning out different models and running them in series, in, you know, time order to basically bring value quickest, that's going to be far more cost effective. And then the other side of charging is requests. So every time someone asks the data a question, you get charged for it in Gen AI. That's the new piece, right? That wasn't in the other types of ML AI before. So if you don't train your users to ask the right data, the right question, you're just being charged for a non-answer or something that's not going to be valuable, right? So you've got these two pieces in Gen AI where arguably people aren't doing AI and ML particularly efficiently anyway. And if you saw that Clouded 2 thing, they did this guy said this profound phrase that big data is where it costs more to think about what to do with your data than store it. So people are just storing all this data and now they've gone, oh, I finally found a use for it. Let's use Gen AI. But they don't know what they're going to use it for. They don't know what they're going to ask. And then they don't train the people to ask the right things to the right people. So you end up with this double problem where you're not really running your models efficiently. And then you're asking the wrong things, the wrong questions, getting bad answers, not really knowing what value you're trying to get in the first place. and being charged every time you ask a bad question. And so people are just spending loads of money for what? To use Gen AI.
Steve-O, actually, let me jump back there a little bit, because in the beginning of this conversation, you were talking about people jumping right into Gen AI. They got to use it and they got to implement it. Top-down executives are saying, hey, let's use this. We have to do something around it. Isn't that the similar problem of going to the cloud? Everybody wanted to go to the cloud in the beginning, but without understanding the cost implications of going to the cloud, implementing it correctly, like implementing a model correctly and using it, all the resources efficiently, the storage, the requests?
Yeah, it's exactly the same problem, right? That people with a lack of technical knowledge of how these things actually work, and therefore how much they cost and how that is pushing a direction, because they're scared of falling behind, right? I've always been a massive advocate of cloud, but I'm not a massive advocate of lift and shifts, right? Use the cloud for the right things. Your data center still has a value. It still has things that should live there. And because people said, oh, we've got to move everything into the cloud, you had this exact same problem. People using it for the wrong thing at the wrong time for the wrong amount of money. And we're going to have the exact same problem again. But the problem is even bigger, right? Because most of your workloads you've moved onto cloud maybe should be running your data center, but they're actually going to be using a similar amount of electricity, if not maybe a bit less, and you're still running the same things, right? So you've moved the problem rather than created a new one. Gen AI, you weren't doing this on your data center. So now you're creating a bigger cost that never existed, a bigger carbon footprint, because this is using massive, expensive, carbon-intensive GPUs, and so we're creating this this large-scale problem for relatively little benefit. There are some great times to use Gen AI, but it isn't. Sometimes people are using it as a solution without a problem. Well, you need to start thinking about your problems, and then see if it's a solution.
That's a good way to look at it, because when you're trying to implement not only Gen AI, right, what you're trying to use it for is to fine tune your FinOps, you know, methodology, your culture, your implementation, and ask the right questions for it. But you're telling everybody to take a step back before you implement this to help you with FinOps. Understand that the moment that you implement this or throw this out there, you're ultimately going to increase your cost. Everything's going to go up, and you're not going to understand why, because you're trying to be cost effective within your business and the applications, and you're trying to use a new tool that's still very new to everybody, and the skill sets are not even there yet to understand all the stuff that needs to be implemented and using cloud for what it was meant to be.
Exactly. And if you've not thought about what you're trying to achieve, then you can't put this against a particular project or a challenge. So if you thought about your problem and kind of go, we're going to do this, we expect it to cost this, these are the benefits we're going to get, then at least you can see your ROI. But if you're just throwing Gen AI at a wall, you're not even going to be able to see what kind of return you're getting. You just can see this massive cost that is, you know, I'm not going to say it's super difficult to understand. It's very hard for someone that doesn't build models to understand the cost of a model. But understanding the cost of a request is pretty straightforward. But if you don't know whether someone got a positive outcome of that request, then it's a meaningless piece anyway, right? If you see that every request is costing you $100, let's say, right? And you run 1,000 requests, you go, oh, that's $100,000. That's a lot of money. But on the flip side, what if only two of those were good answers? You know, I've inflated the money to make this seem worse, right? But that's the kind of concept. If you're not training people to use the right questions to the right data, then you're literally just getting charged potentially for bad returns, which in any other part of business, a CEO would go, no, don't do that. That's stupid. But because it's Gen AI, because it's a buzzword, because it's a new thing, people go, oh yeah, let's go use it. But they're not thinking about these really simple business concepts that, you know, should underline everything we're doing. And that's a level of understanding too.
Yeah, but how do you keep up with, I want to say, the rat race, right? Everybody wants to implement it and use it. They have to have a new service that says this / Gen AI or Gen AI used or enhanced, right? And we must implement this and we're going to put it out there. And it's the same feeling that I get where you have to implement cloud. We must go to the cloud. I don't care. Lift, shift, whatever the cost is, we're going to hit it. And now what's going to happen in about 6 months to a year, everybody's going to be, oh my God, I need, you know, FinOps. I need to really bring that in for my Gen AI cost. And when you should be doing that from the beginning, looking at the implementation, all the forecasting of just implementing Gen AI to help you with FinOps.
Well, it's the same kind of concept, right? In terms of FinOps, you create a team who then centralize it and push out. In Gen AI, as an organization, you have a list of problems. You have challenges you want to look at. Well, train up a few people to know enough, not to be deepest experts, right? But to know enough to be able to look at some challenges and say good or bad fit. So at least you're starting and you kind of look at the problems you've got, you look at which one is the best fit, and you start there. Start with something that you know is a high chance of success and build out from there, learn, and then you've got a better chance of making the other ones more successful. Don't just try to do everything at once. Think about your problems, start with one of those, build up your expertise and your capability. And the reality is, if you successfully implement Gen AI on a small number of things that brings value, then actually you're still going to be much further on than everyone that's doing loads of Gen AI but getting nothing. So doing Gen AI right is going to be more valuable than doing loads of Gen AI.
I agree with you there. In fact, if you start out small and you become very efficient at the small aspects or the small applications, then you can implement it for your other business applications. You can put processes in place. You can fine-tune it. You can understand your skill sets that are going into it and asking the right questions in order to get the accurate results and to minimize all the requests that are happening, reduce your costs, reduce your footprint, reduce the usage within the cloud of all the resources, and implementing Gen AI, not only for FinOps, but for your business
Anyway.
applications.
Yeah, exactly. And you can train people in smaller pockets because you're doing it per requirement rather than trying to go to everyone, hey, there's all this data, go and ask it questions. And say, hey, working with your team, we know this was a problem. We've made this model. Go and ask these questions here. See what answers you get out, see if it's valuable. Hey, you guys, this is the next project. We're going to be working with your team with this data. Let's build that there. And actually, unless you think it's going to have contextual data, don't just run a model over everything. Be specific. And this is the problem. People kind of go, oh, we've stored all this data for ages. Let's run a model across everything. Well, you're getting charged for everything it's looking at. And so again, you're just wasting money.
And regardless of how long the model takes to run, you could try to run it in parallel, break it down, but you have all this data then. You ran the model, you have all this information, and here's the other problem is you still don't know what to do with it or ask the right questions. And now you have a broad area, but if you get very specific within your model, your data, and utilize it and try to answer just those subset of questions, you're going to get better results than implementing everything on a larger scale.
Yeah, far better value because the data isn't going to be dirtied by other stuff. And this is the thing that people get confused by. The more it looks at that isn't specific to the question, the more muddying of the water you're making for the actual response as well. So specific is often best. And over time, this will change and you can grow your data sets. But start trying to be successful rather than just trying to do it.
Do you feel that Gen AI or AI is going to have a place in the FinOps overall methodology? Is going to be a new addition this year? If it has, I mean, it has a small section, but it's going to got to get bigger, right? As we understand it more and the implementations of it. And I believe that you have some valid information to share and contribute, not only to the framework, but to the possibilities of including AI within FinOps in general.
Yeah, so. If you go and speak to any tooling providers now, they all say they're using AI, right? They're basically using algorithms that run models in the same way we've been doing for years.
Yep.
But the buzzword is AI, so they say they're using AI. And there are definitely places where you can be learning from AI. If you look at a great example is you come up with loads of recommendations out of a tool and only a subset of them ever get done, right? Well, learning which ones are most likely to get done and just recommending those, that is an AI problem or a machine learning problem that is really valuable because then it reduces white noise for engineers. And that is a great time to be using it. But at the moment, that's often not where it's getting. People are saying, oh, we're using it to create the recommendations, but just all of the recommendations. Well, actually, let's start training our recommendations to just show us the ones that are most valuable to the people that need to see them and start learning from what's working and what's not. I think that's going to be a massive piece. I think, like we've said, actually, FinOps for AI is going to be a big one as well. And I think generative AI for creating parameters and stuff for infrastructure as code is going to be a big one as well. I think they're the three areas where I can just see it working straight away and asking questions of the data and getting back a real answer.
And validating the data that you get back from the results to make sure that it is accurate because it takes for everybody. I got to wrap up with this last kind of point. What is or what do you think the impact of Gen AI is going to have on FinOps in general?
I think it's going to bring FinOps more into the limelight because I think people are going to see an increase in their cloud bills that's significant. And so FinOps people are suddenly going to have to get their head around how AI and Gen AI charges. And so, like, you haven't even got good tools that help with that at the moment. So that's going to be a big change in the next year or two. And I think it's also hopefully going to help us improve manual processes that exist and reduce white noise.
All right, everybody, I got to wrap this up. Steve-O, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. It's great to see you as always.
Yeah, same with you, and hope to see you at the next event because there's a bunch coming up. That wraps up our FinOps Nexus podcast with Steve-O. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and notify because guess what? We're out of here.